Well, how about them tigers? And not just the tigers. How about them colonels? I expected y'all to be more excited than that. Okay. I promise we're going to talk about Jesus. But first, there's something about a home football game. There's something about when the Colonels play football at John L. Gidry Stadium. And I was thinking this week about the LSU game coming up, and man, LSU's doing pretty good. How are we going to do against Ole Miss? Well, Ole Miss isn't that great this year, but also, it's a home game on Saturday night. Of course we're going to win, because the Tigers don't lose home games on Saturday night. So I'm a nerd. I went on the internet, and I found out that since football began to be played at Louisiana State University in 1893 or 1894, the Tigers have a 74% winning percentage when we play at home. Why? What's the big deal about playing at home? You'll hear it even in the NBA or in the NFL or in the MLB as we're approaching playoff season. Man, if they win one more game, they lock in home field advantage. What's the point? Why is home field advantage important? Well, certainly home field advantage is important because you don't have to get on a plane or on a bus, and you don't have to go far away, and you can stay more or less at your own house, and it's easier and it's more comfortable, and that's helpful. But I can tell you that in the sport of football, there's actually something way more important than that. And those of you who are familiar with the game of football know that there's something that we call the 12th man. There are 11 men on each side of the field for football. But the 12th man is the crowd. And if you have a stadium full of intelligent fans, can make or break a football game. It's the 12th man. The fans actually become part of your team. How? If you have intelligent fans in a full football stadium, the fans do two things. They encourage you, and they get in the way of your opponent. They encourage you by cheering for you, and they get away in the way of your opponent because when the opponent is playing offense and trying to call the plays, if the fans are too loud, the offense can't hear the plays, or at least they can't hear the adjustments to the plays. They can't hear the snap count when you tell them when to hike the ball. And they often will get penalties. They often can't move as efficiently. That your enemy is disrupted by the 12th man when you're playing at home. Home. Last week, we talked here together a little bit about heaven. Remember, we talked about the whole wall of bricks. And if the whole wall of bricks is eternity, where we will either spend forever in joy and peace and happiness, that's heaven, with God, or in torment and punishment and pain without God, that's hell. If the whole wall of bricks is eternity, where we'll either spend in heaven in peace and joy or in hell in torment, this one little speck right here represents this whole time we have on earth. And remember, we said last week that we would not ever want this little speck to affect where we are and what our life or death is like for the whole wall. Because Jesus wants us to go home for all eternity, forever and ever. This week I was thinking a lot about the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 38, the first disciples of Jesus ask him a question. They say, "Master, where do you live?" And Jesus actually doesn't give them an answer. He says, "Come and see." And so they do. They come and they come and they come. And they see and they see and they see. And they come and they see. And we get all the way from John chapter 1 to John chapter 14. And Jesus says, "Here's where I live. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I am going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to take you home for all eternity." But he couldn't tell them that at the beginning. They had to come and they had to see. They had to learn from him what is good and what is not good. They had to be part of a community. Of a community that would help them to do the good and to avoid the bad. A community that would encourage them in their fight of the Christian life. And a community that would run interference against the enemy. Against the world and against the flesh and against the devil. The disciples had to be a part of a community that was working together and that was praying together. And then after Jesus was taken away from them, that was going to fast together. Because they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't do it at the beginning. On their journey home to heaven, they needed a little home on earth. On their journey home to heaven, they needed the company of their brothers and their sisters who would encourage them in virtue and who would help them to fight against the enemy. The book of Ecclesiastes says this: "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken." So Jesus invites you and me to have our home in heaven. And he shows us by what he does with his disciples and by what his word says that we need a home on earth where we are supported by our brothers and sisters in the way of the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not easy, is it? Certainly not if we listen to Jesus. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. But it is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For it is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. Jesus says, y'all, this is how badly I want y'all to come home. This is how good heaven is. Infinite, eternity, forever. Don't let a little thing distract you from being home forever. Don't let a little thing distract you. And it is so easy to let the little things distract us, especially when we are by ourselves. And so that's what we want to do here. We want to build a home Thibodeau will never be heaven on earth until like the second coming, where God is all in all. But we can be a little home. We can help each other to live truly as Christians. We can help each other to go to our true home. So I'll end with this. In the early church, they talked a lot about our journey home. In the first letter of St. Peter, the first pope writes to the church, and he says, I beg you as aliens and exiles, as people who are away from home, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. And not so long after Peter's writing, someone wrote a letter to a man named Diogenes. And in this letter it said, there's something extraordinary about the lives of the Christians. They live in their own countries, but as though they were only passing through. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country. Like others, they marry and have children, but they do not expose them. They share their meals, but not their wives. They live in the flesh, but they are not governed by the desires of the flesh. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven. Christians love all men, but are persecuted by them. Condemned because they are not understood, they are put to death, but raised to life again. They live in poverty, but enrich many. They suffer dishonor, but that is their glory. They are defamed, but vindicated, and a blessing is their answer to abuse. For the good they do, they receive the punishment of evildoers, but even then, they rejoice as though receiving the gift of life. So Jesus tells us today, no matter what your sins are, no matter what your temptations to sin are, no matter what it is in life that distracts you and that distracts me from home, do whatever it takes. Do not be of this world. Let the people who are around you help you. And let's together journey home.